You sold me your soul when you got that badge.
This is the Scarab Swarmcast. In this podcast, we discuss games, anime, conventions, and a variety of other topics. Scarab is an annual convention in Columbia, South Carolina, and members of the Scarab Swarm can be spotted at various events demoing and running a variety of games. For more information on Scarab, go to www.s-c-a-r-a-b.com. You're listening to the Scarab Swarmcast. This is your host, John Maness, and on this episode, we're going to be talking about live-action role-playing games, or LARPs. Here at the table, I've got a few people. Why don't we go around and just introduce yourself and tell us a little something that you might have been playing lately.
I'm Kat Lone, and I've been playing Werewolf the Apocalypse live-action roleplay, and I've also been playing in the Shadowmoor, which is a campaign of Solar.
And I'm Mike Doc Lone, and I've also been doing the live-action roleplay, the Werewolf, the Shadowmoor, and MechWarrior Online.
Ah, cool. MechWarrior Online.
And I'm Brian Gambrill, and I played Pathfinder today. And my great achievement was on firing a arrow of dragon slaying on my two rolls. I rolled a total of 6 on two d20s. Needless to say, I missed.
Oh, the dragon was not slain by that arrow. I think, what have I been playing lately? I've played a game called Bears, which is a dice game. You roll a bunch of dice and you try to escape from bears or shoot bears. So today we're going to be talking, or on this episode, we're going to be talking about LARPs. Live-action role-playing games. What is a live-action role-playing game? Let's say that I've never experienced that before. What would that be?
Live-action role-play is very similar to a tabletop game, whereas with a tabletop game, you sit around the table and you tell the DM what you're doing. Live-action play, you actually go and do it. You get to move around, interact with the other players, interact with the NPCs, and react the way that your character would. There's a couple different kinds of LARPs out there. We play in two of those different types. The Mind's Eye Society is a White Wolf-based gaming system, and it's a no-touch combat. We use a random generator to determine combat. The other type is a Boffer LARP, and that is a physical combat. It uses padded weapons, usually made out of PVC and foam. It also uses spell packets that are made out of pieces of cloth that are stuffed with birdseed.
Hmm, okay.
Now, when she says you actually get out there and do it with your character, there are some limitations. No, we don't want you to actually go bite someone's neck and suck their blood out. We don't want you to decapitate your best friend because you put the killing blow on him. You know, there is a limit to what you do. I mean, it's basically common sense. Role play it up to a point. But at any time, anyone can say, hold, I'm not comfortable here. Or hold, this is going a little overboard. So that's okay. The one safeguard that everybody has access to.
Okay. You mentioned Shadowmoor. We actually just have a couple friends who just recently got into that. So as soon as you said it, it's like, okay, I know. I remember
The Shadowmoor campaign actually pulls from players across from North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee. They've had people play from Virginia and Texas.
Oh, wow.
So we've got somebody that flies in from Pennsylvania every month.
So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're very dedicated to their game. It's a lot of fun. The difference between the Mind's Eye Society, typically they're in 4 to 5 hour sessions, whereas the Shadowmoor Boffer style LARPs are all weekend. You show up on a Friday, you leave on a Sunday.
That sounds
and
very cool.
It's during that entire period of time you're constantly in play. You sleep in play.
Okay.
Somebody can roll up on your cabin, bust through your ward, and kill you in your sleep.
Wow.
No, that's never happened to me. More than 4 times in an event.
Well, what happens at that point? Do you pretty much just have to...
Usually I look at them...
Play dead.
All right,
for the rest
here's
of the
my
game.
Life tag. I'll resurrect in the morning. Go away.
With Shadowmoor, each character has a certain number of lives. Once you're out of those lives, go write up another character. But
okay,
so long as
okay.
You've got a life, you can go resurrect.
Okay. So it's not like, oh, I got killed on Friday, so...
Kind of bones your whole weekend
now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at Scarab this year, we're glad to host the Mind's Eye Society LARPs. And the Boffer people will be there with information, but they're not playing the Boffer LARPs at Scarab.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Boffer-style combat is not conducive to cons. You know, the the event staff really doesn't like it when they see pipes swinging in the hallways. So, but what they usually do is, whether it be Destria or Shadowmoor or Solar or any of the Boffer styles, when they come to a con, they'll have a display booth there. They may have some pictures, some video, a bunch of in-play items so you can see. Because when you get coin, they actually hand you coin. You know, you get silver pieces and gold pieces, and you can go trade them in for in-play stuff and that type thing. So it's a very tactile, immersive game. A lot of fun. But that's not the LARP for everybody. And that's why you also have the Mind's Eye Society stuff, which is more parlor-style LARP.
Right. And it's neat to see that there's different flavors to LARPs. Because I know sometimes when people just hear LARP, they think one particular thing. I don't know what that may be that they think. But, for me, for the longest time, because I lived in Charleston for about 5 or 6 years when I was in college, and there was always a group that would go out to one of the parks. I think it was, like, every Friday or Saturday night, they'd always have, I think it was the Camarilla, I think it was Vampire that they were doing. So that's what I always associated with. And for some reason, I never thought about the Boffer end of that, because that's not really what
there's also
experienced.
LARPs out there that fit just about every flavor.
Right.
You'll have Wild West LARPs, Wars LARPs.
Stargate LARPs.
Steampunk is very popular.
Steampunk is...
And didn't you test drive a Dresden Files LARP?
Yes, I can say that Evil Hat Studios is working on a Dresden Files LARP. And because of the non-disclosure agreement, that's about all I can say on it.
Right.
Other than the fact that it looks good, they've really done their homework on it, and it really has the feel of Dresden. So all you Dresden fans out there, check out the Evil Hat Studios website and get ready, because it should be coming out soon.
So it's not just a bunch of guys. It's not going to be just a bunch of guys with trench coats and hockey sticks running around.
Although
it might
hockey
be,
sticks, maybe not.
It's like great. Everybody wants to play Harry. Why?
Of course.
Having read those books, I don't know why anybody would want to
play
Harry
Bob.
Dresden.
Yeah, I just want to be Bob. Run around, look at college girls, and heckle the mage all the time. I can do that. What, dear?
Wow, that was a very audible sigh. There are people 3 blocks away that heard that sigh.
So, tell me what got the two of you into LARPs?
He got me into LARPs shortly after we started dating. Up to that point, I'd only experienced roleplay in online versions through HTML chat rooms mostly.
Mm-hmm.
So this was really my first experience. I'd done a little bit of tabletop, but not a lot. And I really just enjoyed the experience, the immersion into the roleplay that LARPs gave me.
For me, I was in the Air Force from 94 to 98, and got to my first duty station in Okinawa, and, you know, being halfway around the planet and nothing to do, I met up with some people, and they said, hey, do you want to do this Vampire LARP thing? I said, sit in the dorm room or go do a LARP? Sure, let's try with a LARP. And I had played the Vampire the Masquerade game back in 90 when it first released from White Wolf Studios, and if you haven't had the opportunity to play a LARP, the immersion factor, we keep saying this word, immersion, you actually get in there and you start thinking as that character. Instead of saying, my character's going to do this, my character's doing that, you get up, you walk over, you talk to this person, then you go over here and talk to that person, and then you realize those two people are plotting against each other, and you start stirring the pot. And, you know, you get that thrill of actually being in that scene that you've always read about or always saw during the game sessions. You're in it, you're leaving it, breathing it, and it's a laugh.
And the costuming's fun as well. That helps with the immersion.
And I've already told my best LARP story, so.
Yep. So
that was on our first podcast.
So what I'll do in this episode is I'll tell everybody right now, I'll say, go out there and listen to episode 2. It was episode 2, yes. Episode 2, Brent.
Well, just be sure. Just go back and read it. Listen to all the episodes.
Yeah, just to be safe. But in particular, episode 2, Brian has a really interesting story about the nun grenade.
Episode 2, The Smell of Fear.
The Smell of Fear. Okay, so we're back from you guys listening to episode 2 with the nun grenade thing. which was an awesome story. I still hear people mention that when we go to conventions. They either just say, I just hear somebody say Nun Grenade, or they say, where's that guy with the, he's talking about the Nun Grenade. And now we'll know.
The honest truth about that story is I actually vaguely remember it because of how intoxicated I was.
I remember you telling me about the Nun Grenade.
Amy has to tell me on some of the details because she being pregnant was not intoxicated. I, however, drank for the both of us.
We're going to get you a little patch or something to put on one of your shirts that just says...
Ask me about the Nun Grenade. There we go. What actually gave me the idea about looking for people like Doc and Kat were two Gen Cons ago, Amy and I were looking for somewhere to eat with our boys.
Uh-huh.
And we wandered into the wrong hotel room. I mean, the wrong hotel. Not room. And
that's a different con.
That's a different con, yeah. That's happened several times. We went to the Westin, and we were coming back out having seen the prices of the restaurant there and trying to get our jaws off the ground and find somewhere a little cheaper. And we ran into a bunch of the vampire LARPers. And a lot of we go to a lot of conventions with Scarab, and we just hadn't seen LARPing much at cons anymore. And I was even asking whether it was just what we were seeing. Is it just dead in our area? And the Westin proved to me at least, that LARPing was not dead. It was just, it had died in our area. And so then we start trying to find who we can find. And unbeknownst to us, Doc and Kat were actually looking for us. And so we were like, they had contacted
Miles in the night,
yeah. But they had contacted Miles, and so then that's how we got put together. And since I have coordinated LARPs in the past, coordination sounds like it's really complicated. All I do is go, well, I don't know, talk to Dale, or I don't know, talk to Doc. And so, being a lawyer, I'm also really good at passing the buck. So that's probably why I make the perfect coordinator for this.
And LARP groups, honestly, are just like any other gaming group. You get a bunch of people together, it gets big, uh-huh. Everybody's getting together at the house, and then the drama hits, everybody hates the drama llama, and then they split off, and sometimes you'll form different groups, whatever, so it's just like any other group of gamers.
Yeah. I've heard people who had misconceptions that LARP groups tend to have all sorts of drama associated with it. No, it's any gaming group. It really is.
Well, Columbia used to have the largest chapter in South Carolina for MES.
Okay.
And yeah, that was back in the 2000 to 2003-ish range.
Wow.
They were the place to be in South Carolina to LARP.
We would very much like to help Columbia reform their chapter and build a domain.
So if you're listening to our podcast.
Which you should be.
Of course.
Everybody is.
Please contact us. If you would like to be the local chapter for Columbia, we would like to put you with two people who know how to run a chapter, and then therefore you too can be the head of your own local chapter of live action role playing.
But wait, there's more. Uh-oh. If you act now, we'll throw in a free set of Gensu knives. Sorry.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't those be Bopper?
Yeah, Gensu they would knives? Have to be foam Gensu knives.
Oh, forget that. For real Gensu knives, you almost had me. But for Bopper Gensu knives, not so much.
Well, this actually segues nicely into the next thing I want to ask, because we've been talking about MES, and Kat, you've mentioned Mind's Eye Society a couple times. What is Mind's Eye Society?
Mind's Eye Society is a global organization. It's made up of hundreds of individual chapters and domains, not just in the United States, but around the world. The LARP that Mind's Eye Society offers allows you to not only play in your local game, but you can take your character that you play here and go on a business trip to California and find a game out there to play in for the weekend. Or you can go online and interact with another game through some of the online mediums that they have, whether it's through email or IRC or one of the other chat sites that they use.
Okay.
So it is a LARP that encompasses a lot of smaller LARP communities and mm-hmm. puts them all together into one.
Recently, we had an individual come down from Ohio. who was down here working a warehouse, new warehouse facility, putting in all the controls and the affairs and such like that. And he's a Mind's Eye Society member. So he contacted us and says, hey, you know, I'm going to be in your area for 6 weeks to 2 months. You know, I'd like to get in on some local games. And we put him in touch with our werewolf game and Charlotte's mage and vampire game. And so he was, while on the road, able to still enjoy the hobby.
Now, your particular chapter is called Salt.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Salt stands for Spartanburg Area Live Theater. And that's our local chapter. Our chapter is actually at a domain level, which is you start out as a chapter and you grow into a domain. And we fall under the Southeast region, which falls under the U.S. national guidelines. But you can still go and play all over the world. And the event that we're having at Scarab is our Southeast regional feature game of the month. So it's going to draw in players from all over the Southeast region.
We know, confirmed, we have players coming from North Carolina. We got players coming from Charleston, Savannah, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, upstate of South Carolina. Expect from Alabama, Tennessee, possibly even get some Florida players up.
Tell us about what sort of events or things you're planning for Scarab.
Well, we have 5 sanctioned MES games scheduled for Scarab.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night is going to be Werewolf the Apocalypse.
Okay.
Saturday afternoon is Mage the Awakening. Saturday evening, we're going to do Vampire the Masquerade. Then on Sunday in the afternoon is going to be Accord the Combined, and Sunday night is Vampire the Requiem. Each of these is going to be run by a different storyteller. Each of those storytellers come from different domains within Mind's Eye Society in the Southeast region. We've got storytellers from North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia coming together to put this event on.
Very cool.
How many people did we have last year?
We had right around 60 or so, I believe.
Just south of 60.
And that's with absolutely no lead time. So we're
really... we only had 3 months to work with last year, so we're hoping to double that number this year.
An interesting note about that, actually, for the first place winner at the costume contest was one of your guys' LARPers, a chaos mage of some fashion. I know her name, but I'm not going to say it just because, you know, she didn't get permission to...
I guess, in fact,
she did. She bought a badge.
No. Yeah.
Did you read the back of your badge? You sold me your soul when you got that badge.
I sold my soul when I signed the papers to Scarab.
You really should read the back of your badge. It's an itty bitty little font, but it's a whole lot of big lawyer words. Makes my heart just.
I was going to say, Brian, we sold our soul well before buying a
badge. That's true.
Yeah.
I always said it would have been cheaper just to buy a badge. And,
you know. Anybody who wants to find out more about the MES LARPs at Scarab, they're welcome to find us on Facebook. Do a search for S.A.L.T.
Oh, you do
so
dots.
So you guys use dots.
We use dashes.
We use dashes.
That's tabletop versus LARP.
Oh.
See, so LARPs do dots. Tabletop does dashes.
I think it was like, I think it was a internet domain kind of thing.
Right, yeah, because www.scarab.com was like 30 grand, and www.s-c.
Do you
whatever.
Want me to do it? S-C-A-R-A-B.
Was $5.
Wait, I probably misspelled it. I don't know. I think I just spelled Scrab.
That's good.
Scrab.
But I was pleased to know that because I was looking for our website the other day, and I just go to Google.
It's the top.
It's the number one. It's the number one. If you even type in SCA, Scarab Gaming Convention pops up.
That's because I'm at work, like Googling it all the time. No.
Well, I was on the phone.
They won't let me do that anymore.
People are also welcome to contact us by email, and that is salt.vst@gmail.com. You can also look up more information on Mind's Eye Society at mindseyesociety.org.
And I'm pretty sure that Salt is a friend of Scarab's on
Yes.
Facebook.
Yes, we are.
Absolutely.
So if you're listening to this podcast, obviously, odds are good that you're friends with us on Facebook. So that's another way you can hook up. Or you can just put out a blar, how do I get them? And we'll be glad to put you in touch.
That's true. But you have to start it with blar.
Blar.
Do that again, Brian.
Blar.
Awesome.
The moment's gone.
If you're more interested in the Boffer style LARPs than the MES White Wolf LARPs, mm-hmm. you can find out more about Shadowmoor at shadowmoor.org.
You'll find if you get any group of LARPers together, they're just going to do nothing but sit around and talk about old stories of what their characters have done, to whom, when they did it, or how they did it.
But that's any gaming group, too.
Well, this is true, but...
When it comes to LARPing, I think the memories are more tangible. And they come out a lot right. more. People like to talk about them and reminisce.
Because you were there and you were physically doing...
Oop, yes. That's me on Twitter.
What?
I popped my Twitter. Oh. I tried not to, but it just happened.
I thought this was a PG podcast. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Quit popping your Twitter in front of everybody, Brian. Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, pretty much what we're going to see at Scarab is going to be a lot of the White Wolf. Those are the LARPs we have scheduled. If we run across something that we can get fit in there, mm-hmm. We're open to it. So if you run a LARP or want to be a part of this, give us a call. Let us know. We'll see if we can't get you a slot.
We did actually pick up from Gen Con. We got a couple of copies of something called Kronos?
The Universal LARP system?
Mm-hmm. We got a few books and some of their cards, a couple sets of their cards.
Okay. There's new LARP systems popping up every day.
Okay.
Honestly, matter of fact, there's a North Carolina LARP Facebook group. And I know of three new LARPs starting this year.
Wow.
All new systems. A lot of these are experienced LARPers who said, you know what? I can build a better mousetrap. And they do. So I would love to see a space-based LARP. There's a couple of them running around. I'd love to, if somebody's interested, I'd love to get the one scheduled because I'd like to play it.
Okay.
And like with any other game you get into, there's always more games out there than you can play.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we've done a lot with Destria. I know Destria kind of took this year off. Destria is a great LARP up in North Carolina based out of Raleigh. And we really enjoy it. They uh-huh. have things in their LARP that Shadowmoor doesn't offer, but they're still a Boffer LARP. They actually use Nerf guns as well, which is really fun.
Oh, wow.
Wow, I could start an arms war on that
one. It happened.
Because you've got kids.
My boys had the machine guns.
Yeah. When Doc pulled out the 40-round drum for his.
My boys could do a 40-round drum and then reload with another 40-round drum and still have darts to shoot. Mm. So there for a while, our playroom was a DMZ. So it was they would set up forts and shoot at each other. But I think the cat has had enough of the darts and he carries them all.
Does the cat have PTSD?
No, they never shot the cat because
they're bumbling.
Because then Amy would be Amy's on the side of the cat. Let's put it that way. There's nothing more fun than telling, hey, let me see that gun, and your child brings it over. They go, wonder how you shoot them at point blank range. Yeah.
First lesson:
never hand dad a loaded gun. Yeah, and I could hit running children too. My aim was getting to be pretty good.
See, I'm telling you, you got to come do Boffer LARP with us. There you go. Great.
Brian has a gelatinous cube story, which explains why he would never do the LARP.
I mean, here's my GM claim to fame.
Oh, hold on a second. Here's Brian with an interesting story.
Yeah. And I'm running at Gen Con, and I was a little punch drunk because by that point I had been up for quite a while and hadn't slept well. And so I'm running a module in which there are not one, but two gelatinous cubes. And when you're running gelatinous cubes in Pathfinder with the characters with relatively high level, the roll to see this gelatinous cube is really not all that tough. And gelatinous cubes are very slow, and they can't really dodge, and can't really move very fast. And so this poor group had found my two gelatinous cubes and proceeded to start attacking my gelatinous cubes. And I felt so sad for these two gelatinous cubes because they were charging at them at top speed, which is 5 feet at a time. And so, I mean, they're hauling tail for a gelatinous cube. I mean, that's as fast as they can go. So they're trying to run down the hall, and they're just getting shot to pieces. And for some reason, I felt sorry for these gelatinous cubes. And so I started to back them up and try and hide them Because to me, I'm thinking gelatinous cube has animal level intelligence, so it would do what an animal would do, which is if I'm getting hurt and I can't stop the hurt, I'm getting away from the hurt. So they start running away, and the party just then decides to charge into melee range with gelatinous cubes, which prompted me to say, you fell into my cunning trap, you know, because then I charged them again, and I was in melee range with my gelatinous cubes, which were awesome, you know. And so I said, you fell for my cunning maneuver. And somebody said at the table, watch out, these gelatinous cubes know some maneuvers. And then somebody else at the table says, what? They listed lazily to the left. And so we started into this whole Blue Harvest thing. And so it gave these gelatinous cubes a little bit of personality. And so they started, an alchemist threw a bomb at them. And he said, make a reflex save. And I said, a gelatinous cube, make a reflex save. So I said, all right, ready to watch. And so I kind of wobbled to the right and go, oh, they failed, because they fail all reflex saves. They can't make one. And so I wobbled. And when I wobbled, everyone said, that's awesome. You're role-playing a gelatinous cube. And I'm, you know, I identify with gelatinous cubes being somewhat large and fluffy. So everyone left. I mean, everyone survived the combat. They killed my poor gelatinous cubes. And as I'm signing chronicle sheets and stuff, people were still talking about the gelatinous cubes that I successfully role-played. And also the whole, watch out, these gelatinous cubes know some maneuvers. And it was funny because they had all listed lazily to the left to get them to charge in. And
Brian role-plays a gelatinous cube well.
That's right.
That's what you should take away from that story.
Yeah, that's correct. I can role-play. I can role-play a large 5-foot slab of gelatin. That's carnivorous. And
so tell us about how your events work. I show up to a con, or I show up to one of your particular events. How is that going to work? What do I do? What do you do?
Well, we would get you a character to start with.
Okay.
For the MES LARPs, these are done by a random generator. The old world system uses a random generator that is rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Not to be confused with Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, if Spock and Lizard.
That's the advanced version, and then, sorry, we keep it to the basics.
Okay, okay.
There used to be a bomb, but they got rid of the bomb.
So,
with Rock, Paper, Scissors, if there's a tie, then you compare on traits. And you can also have retests for certain conditions. With the New World system, it's done with a card draw. And you have cards numbered 1 through 10. You have bonus traits to different pulls. So if you pull a 5 and you have a bonus trait of 3, then your total pull is 8. Kind of like how when you roll a d20. So think of it more of a d10 kind of roll chance.
Are the cards random? You draw them random?
Yeah, it's random.
Because why wouldn't you always want the 10, right?
Right. Yeah, no, it's just a random deck of cards.
Just like
and you pull one blind. Show it.
And the STs will have the cards, so it's not like you even have to show up with cards.
Okay.
Costuming for MES is optional, but a lot of the MES LARPs take place in the real world as far as the time frame goes. So you can literally show up in blue jeans and t-shirt and be in character, and be in your character's costume. Or you can show up in a three-piece suit and be playing a businessman.
Or you can show up in a trash bag. Yes, I've seen it happen.
Yes.
That is not the costume-winning costume.
No.
With boffer LARPs, they tend to be very immersive, more so, and require costuming. So for Shadowmoor, you can't show up in blue jeans and tennis shoes. So, you're wearing sandals or boots, and you're wearing pants and a tunic and or a bodice and a dress and things of that nature, and dressing more medieval fantasy style.
Okay.
Some people lean more toward dressing in the steampunk style.
But as far as what you were asking is what happens in the event, what people will see at Scarab, show up. If you've got a character on the books that's already sanctioned, you're a member of the Mind's Eye Society, we check your character in, sign off on it, off to play you go. If you don't have a character, then we'll sit down and we'll have some pre-built ones for you. Or if you show up early enough, we might have time to actually work up a character specifically for you. And then you can take that character forward and play in other games.
Is there usually a fee for joining the societies? Or?
You can get a free trial membership for 6 months. After that, it's $20 a year.
Not bad.
If you go ahead,
that's
and
not bad.
Yeah, if you go ahead and sign up for your 1 year, you get that 6 months in addition. So it's the first year plus 6 months for $20. And comparable to other LARPs, $20 a year is dirt cheap.
I was going to say, comparable to tabletop games, that's
that can be
cheap.
Pretty dirt cheap.
What if you decide, oh, I've played this year, but I'm off, and I don't renew for this next, you know, for following year, and
then
you decide the third year, you pick it back up. It's just
then
same
it,
character
it,
can still be legal. You just pay your fee. And
if the Chronicle is still sanctioned, yes, your character is still legal.
Okay. The Chronicles typically run in 5-year segments.
Okay.
So the current Chronicle that MES is under right now started a year ago back in June. So we're 16 months into it now of this Chronicle.
And what is a Chronicle exactly?
Basically, it's the same game world throughout the nation or world, depending on which venue you're in. Such as our Werewolf the Apocalypse is U.S. national only, all of U.S. national. So our game that takes place in Spartanburg, South Carolina, is in the same game world that the one in Atlanta takes place, and the one that Charleston takes place, the one Raleigh-Durham takes place, and all the other games in the United States. What actions take place in one game has drastic consequences across the entire nation. If word that XYZ got happened, that goes across the national list and can start a firestorm. Trust me, I know.
But as far as your membership has a lot of benefits. It gives you a vote. Now, trial members don't get these benefits. It's only the paid members. You get a vote. You vote on who your storyteller is. You vote on who your coordinator is. You have a voice for national and regional elections. With your membership, you can also gain what's called member class. Mind's Eye Society is very geared toward doing charitable acts. So for charitable acts, you earn these prestige points. For doing things for the club, like being a storyteller, being a coordinator, bringing food or drinks to a game, things like that all earn you prestige points. As your prestige points go up, you go up in member class. Member class gives you extra points to spend on your characters. It can also open doors to let you play higher level characters to start out. And with the Chronicles only last about 5 years. After that 5-year mark, when they say Chronicle's going to end on this date, it's like a whole reset for the world. All the characters start over at base level, and all the XP goes away. The storyline and everything just completely refreshes.
Right.
You mentioned something about your people are elected. So just because you started the chapter, your domain in Spartanburg, if people feel you're not living up to what you need to be doing, you can basically be saying voted out, saying no
well,
more.
Well, not just voted out. Your term in office has a term limit. Every year is a new election. For regional, it's every 2 years.
Very governmental.
It does to a point, but here's where it helps. And we touched about on this earlier about, you know, sometimes the drama llama pops up and the group starts falling apart. The handbook is there to help players and members organize themselves and conduct themselves in an appropriate manner for a club. So if you have a storyteller who has gone rogue and doing wild, crazy stuff and killing characters every other session just to be killing characters, and you go, hey, we got an issue with this. Let's talk. If that doesn't work, then you go to more formal ways of conflict resolution.
Okay.
And to the point of having a referendum of, do we still want to keep this guy's storytelling? It is controlled by the members. The members sit and elect the people that they want to be in the positions. If they're not doing a good job, you either wait till they come up for election again and don't re-elect them, or if it's bad enough, you could ask for a referendum and impeach them, yeah.
Effectively, the referendums don't impeach. They call for an early election.
It's almost like a vote of no confidence in a parliamentary system.
Pretty much. But that, honest to God, it's rare.
It's very rare. And we have, every member of Mind's Eye Society is held to a code of conduct to prevent the drama. Doesn't yeah. always, but it's there to, as a way of trying to prevent the drama. There's conflict resolution that starts with open discussion, mediation, and most of the time, people can resolve their problems pretty easily just by sitting down and talking.
You know, I mean, I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast has been a member of a group, something happened, and friends fell apart. Whereas if you could have sat down and had a chit-chat, said, this is what I was seeing, and this is what I was seeing, you know, maybe that group wouldn't have fell apart. That's what the handbook's there for.
When I started getting into gaming, there was all these other games and stuff I would get into that would always make references to, in particularly, a lot of the werewolf and vampire stuff.
Go ahead.
All right.
Okay. I was going to say, I keep thinking of the Kobolds one.
Well okay. Kobolds Ain't My Baby.
Kobolds Ain't My Baby, Lord.
There's so many LARP references in there. I'm pretty sure most of them are from...
Yeah.
From Vampire. Because there's like this one spell, it's LARPification, where you do what you put your cross your hands across your chest. As long as you do that, your character's invisible.
But you get to roll your dice
character,
and everything.
Your character thinks he's invisible.
And so you have to actually be at the table doing that.
Yeah, I mean,
roll dice, it's really awkward.
There is a lot of LARP isms out there, such
and
as
I think there's still some stigma out there.
Oh, there is. I mean, wait, there's stigma for D&D and Pathfinder.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, yes, we are the oddballs, if you want to say that, of the gaming community, which is odd into itself.
I was gonna say,
we've actually brought a lot of new players into LARPing, not just the MES LARPs, but the Boffer LARPs as well. Some of those players were like, LARPing. Really? I'm like, just give it a try. Come to one event. And they have been hooked ever since.
And I've known a lot of people get their first taste of role-playing games, period, through LARP. I've seen it from teenagers all the way to people in their 50s and 60s play their first role-playing game with a LARP and absolutely love it.
I could see that because LARPs can be less intimidating because... You put down most role-playing game books, like the Pathfinder Core Rulebook, which I love.
400-some pages.
It's a biology textbook.
Yeah.
And
you can beat kill small children.
You could beat someone to death with, whereas LARPing is, you know, it's really as simple as going to Starbucks and drinking coffee with somebody, and you can play a game that way.
Well,
it's less intimidating.
I was going to say, I think it also depends on the people that are running the LARP, because... I have tried to participate in a Deadlands one years and years and years ago, and they're like, yeah, sure. And they give you, like, these basic rudimentary, like, 2 minutes worth of intro on it. Even mm-hmm. though you said, I'm brand new, I don't know what's going on, I'd like to try this. And then they ignore you the rest of the time.
And
so, I mean, that's why I said, it definitely has to be whoever's hosting it has to be very congenial.
Well, Michael and I at Shadowmoor, our group... called the Battle Healers. We are frontline healers. I dual-wield fighters.
Grab a fighter in one hand, grab a fighter in the other, and walk into combat.
I pump heals into them, they keep me up. But our group is known for taking in newbies. We've actually been criticized in the past for taking in newbies. I'm like, really?
How dare you bring more people into our...
Well, it's not just hobby. That we bring new people. We always welcome newbies. Because we feel that the future of the game lies in the new players. I also feel that it's more important your first event to understand the genre that you're playing in rather than just the mechanics. The mechanics will come. You'll learn the rules. You get the basics down pat, and then you make sure you're being safe, which with a Boffer LARP is paramount. And then learn the genre. Learn the interaction part of it. That's where you get your most enjoyment. If you don't understand the genre, the mechanics, it's just there.
I mean,
you're not going to have fun just with mechanics.
We can all relate to that first time a character sheet was put in front of you and you've been had this, all these different flavors of dice, you know, a triangle and a square and God knows what the dodecahedron is, you know. And, you know, you sit there and it's, all right, what do I do now? Yeah, same thing happens in any game system. Okay, I don't care if the rule book is 20 pages or 2,000 pages.
Yeah.
You know, you sit down, it's a good storyteller, whether it be tabletop or LARP, will work with a new person and start them small. You know, your character's here, your character's doing this, this is what you see, what do you want to do from there? Okay, you want to do this? If you do this, you can throw these dice or, you know, throw rock, paper, scissors and see what the outcome is.
Right.
I am kind of curious, since you were at the last Scarab, did you have any of the other people kind of wander in and ask about what was going on?
We
or
did.
Did you recruit a few people?
We did have a few players get recruited in, which was great.
Awesome.
And we worked really well with the new players, explained everything to them, and I think two of them, which were from Virginia, were going back and going to play in their local game.
That's very cool. Well, I was going to ask, if someone was interested in getting into LARPing for the first time, what would you recommend? I know you've kind of covered a lot of that.
The biggest thing with getting into a LARP is whether it be the vampire, werewolf, mage, boffer, fantasy, whatever, know the venue. Okay.
Okay.
As far as just read up on the genre. If you want to play a mage LARP, read some Dresden Files or, you know, any other of the modern fantasy books like that. If you want to play in a vampire LARP, read up on some vampire novels. Anne Rice is a great example.
Stay away from the sparkly ones.
Stay away from the sparkly ones.
That seems to be a universally accepted theme.
There is a rule that states vampires sparkle in the sun. Once.
When they burn off. <'Cause they're stunning. laughs>
But yeah. The biggest thing is, don't worry about the rules. Get with your storyteller. Say, hey, I'm new. Can you put me with an experienced player? I want to play this style of character. And you don't have to say, I want to play specific, this clan, this tribe, this breed, this auspice. No, say, I want to play a character like Dresden. Or I want to play a character like Molly.
Right.
You know, this is the kind of personality I want to portray. Let the people who are experienced with the rules kind of direct you where to go with your character sheet. And most LARPs have a 30-day, 90-day rewrite rule. Get in there, learn the system. And if you're not happy with where your character is, as long as you keep the major direction going, you can tweak this, tweak that to better suit the role play that you're presenting.
And LARPs will generally have newbie modules that they'll send the lower level players on, so that they do get a feel for the mechanics and do get a feel for the rules in a play level that's best suited for them.
We're seeing that a lot in tabletop too, because that's in fact that's kind of the big thing now is quick start rules or introductory scenarios.
What's a quick start?
We've done a whole podcast.
We did, didn't we? We're gonna do more on them too,
because it's really, I won't say it's more than in vogue. I think it's probably where the industry has gone, is you got to get people hooked into your game. And like I said, hitting them with a biology textbook sometimes is not the easiest way to do it. Now, gamers who have been doing it a while are no problem. But what they're really trying to do is capture the people whose role-playing experience is something like WoW. Which is
World of Warcraft, for those that don't know.
Okay, I figured anyone listening to a gaming podcast would know that, but
you never know.
Thanks, Drew. But you know, they're in that online video game experience, and now we're trying to get them to kind of go to the next step. And so, I think the boffer LARPs actually might be the easiest thing for them to understand, because it's, you know,
smacking people around with sticks.
Yeah, because we keep all the NPCs that have the little question mark over their head.
Yeah.
You know, go look for that guy with the question mark over his head.
Yeah.
No, we really don't do that.
I was trying to make like a thing that I was going to wear at Gen Con that had a big question mark.
We never did
over
it.
My head. I never did. I was like, that'd be great if I'm mustering for tables. It's like, oh, go to the guy with
best
the
one I saw was a double build cap. Uh-huh. The front of it had the question mark, and you turned it around and it had the exclamation mark.
Oh, man.
You made a comment about the buffer LARPs and then parlor style LARPs.
Yes.
So that's what Mind's Eye is. What is that more? I mean, do you have props? Do you have things like that? Or is it?
You can have props to an extent. You cannot carry anything that even resembles a weapon in Mind's Eye Society.
Okay.
What you can do is take a index card and write your stats for your gun and keep that in your pocket and pull it out to use to read your stats off of. But you can't take a piece of paper and draw a gun on it and say, here's my prop. You can't even do that.
And when this rule came about, this was very early in the Mind's Eye Society / White Wolf LARPing system was people were wanting to tote around guns, and this was about the same time Columbine went down, and you had all that stuff going on, and you got people in trench coats carrying around these fake guns, and yeah, that's not really good publicity.
Yeah, that's not a, and just the scare of our convention rules don't allow it either.
Right.
So
no,
that's for everybody's
weapons are not props, but if you want to, say, have a cane, or have a...
like a pimp cane, like what John has.
Like a cane with a big D20 on it.
Yeah. Or if you want to have your familiar with you, and you've got a little stuffed kitty cat that you're toting around all night. Sure, if you're a Malkavian, and, you know, your idea of what you want to carry around for the night is a teddy bear wearing a straitjacket, that's okay, too.
So, but the parlor-style LARPs... Yeah. Huh. Are not so much as go up and beat on people with foam and pipe.
It's more interaction.
It's more interaction as on a social level, hence the parlor style LARP.
Because I think of the steampunk, you know, with the silly little hats and the veils and the tea sipping. And
oh, yeah.
Everyone's walking around with a...
I've heard it called salon style.
Salon style's another term for it. But it's more of a, instead of physically going out and doing something, you're saying, I am socially enough to do this to your character. And you say, well, I am determined enough not to let you. And then we throw rock, paper, scissors, or we draw cards to determine the result.
And I've seen some people use paper, rock, scissors. They actually have cards for paper, rock, scissors.
Yes. All right, there is the known tell. I am the worst of it. I've got people in my group, if they can look at my face and I'm throwing rock, paper, scissors, they know exactly what I'm about to throw. So then I go to the rock, paper, scissors card, or on my handy-dandy phone, I have an app.
There is a company called Crit Success, which do these spinning rings.
They do the spinning rings.
They've got the 1 through 10, and they've got the rock, paper, scissors.
They've even got the one that's got Spock and Lizard on it, too.
That gets into Vance rules. We're not. That's another podcast.
Yeah, because if you're going to play paper, rock, scissors with my youngest son, yeah, you want him to make him use the cards, because his little fingers, is amazing how fast he can switch.
Yes. Like paper, the old good old double pump. Yeah. We've seen the double pump. That is illegal. We will hand you a set of cards.
Yeah. That's my answer for people who switch up fingers on me.
Katie Collins and Aiden Gambrell are... You just go ahead and hand them cards.
Okay.
Well, we don't have to worry about that for a few more years, because you do have to be 18 years of age to play Mind's Eye Society. But the biggest thing with the parlor or salon style games, we have our MES game at our home. Mm-hmm. Inside our living room, in our dining room, on the back porch, on the front porch, in the yard. But we can't do that with boffer LARPs. You're not going to be walking around my house swinging a padded foam weapon and taking out my TV.
So you've made mention that you don't necessarily have to run these things at a convention. It might be some other type of event. Do you have any other particular games or events that are coming up? Because Scarab's all the way in January. And who can wait that long to
get some games? Our SALT games are held every second and fourth Sunday. Where I came up with Wednesday.
That's the board meetings, dear.
Shadow Moor has weekend-long events. They have one October 17th through the 19th, and then November 14th through the 16th. Then they stop for the winter. It's very seasonal. We don't like to go out there in the winter. It's not good for the pipe swinging. And they'll resume in March.
But that, I know that your podcast listeners, you know, they could be in North Carolina. They could be down on the coast. They could be down in Georgia. There's domains and chapters in all those locations. So just get on the mindseyesociety.org site. Find out where your local domain or chapter is. I know Charleston runs something every weekend. I know Atlanta runs something every weekend. Charlotte runs something every weekend. Raleigh-Durham runs something every weekend. Savannah runs something, I think, every weekend. Greenville.
Atlanta has, I think, 3 weekends a month.
It may be just 3 weekends a month, but, you know, there's almost any weekend you can find a game somewhere if you're willing to do a little bit of traveling.
All right. And so, like you were saying, best way to figure this out, no matter where you are, is to go to the Mind's Eye Society website. .org. Cool.
And if you need some help getting a hold of a contact person, give us a call or an email.
Or an email. Or,
a Facebook.
The best way to contact them is to go to Scarabs.
You start with the Scarab?
Start with Scarab. And remember, you have to tell them Scarab sent me to you guys.
Absolutely.
You should always, in fact, anybody you talk to should always say, it might be kind of awkward.
No, first thing you do is you email Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't get enough email.
Brian's like, I will file this accordingly.
Yeah.
In this trash can.
You're neat.
Your email has been recycled.
No, if somebody emails me looking for contact for LARP, I definitely know who to talk to.
Does anybody here have any other interesting little things they want to say about LARPs or the such? Or does anybody have an interesting little story they want to tell about LARPs, excluding the Nun Grenade?
And pistol whipping.
And the pistol whipping incident.
But that wasn't an LARP. That was the pistol whipping.
That was the aftermath.
Right. The pistol
game.
Whipping was not an LARP. It was on a tabletop.
That's right. You should never pistol whip in a LARP.
I would say if you enjoy tabletop and you've never tried a LARP before, get rid of any pre-misconceptions you've had, anything you've been told, and just go try one.
Or come to Scarab and try one.
That's right.
Hey, we like that answer.
I like that answer, too.
Yeah. And while you're there, there's a whole other con to see.
Well, thank you, Kat. Thank you, Doc, for joining.
Brian.
Always a
pleasure.
Yeah,
notice he didn't say a pleasure. Oh, you did. You stuck it in there. It was like, it's a pleasure having you, Doc and Kat. And yeah, Brian.
Brian, you're here. So, you know, that's...
Occupied space.
That's a thing.
And happened. I snuck in. I was trying so hard not to ask questions and be quiet, but
yeah,
it never happens. I always end up...
That was just so you didn't say, I don't want to talk about what games I've been playing. What games have you been playing? Klondike. Check
Facebook
it out.
Game.
It's on Facebook.
Really, what I've been playing a lot of lately is Master of Orion 2.
Oh. I was going to say Civ 5.
No, I don't
Diablo
like Civ 5.
Diablo 2?
No, I've been playing Diablo 3, which, and, but...
With the new expansion?
Well, you know, they've upped the difficulty, so, like, the first time I went out, it's like, I've got a level 50-something character, and I get, like, pwned immediately. I'm like, oh, okay, well, Diablo 3, not so much, so go back to Master of Orion 2.
Yeah, last year, I won a couple of games at Scarab, and one of them was just this little, not expensive game called Love Letters.
Yes!
Everybody loves Love Letters.
Yes, it's
and
very
it, and it comes, and it's been reskinned, retooled, all sorts of different flavors, so if you like... L5R, you can play the L5R version of Love Letter. Legend of the Five Rings. It's a, I don't know.
Samurai.
Samurai
and tell everyone
and
what
stuff.
Your second favorite game is.
Please don't say Bejaggle.
No.
We
love Bejaggle.
No,
oh, yes.
I Drink What?
Yeah.
I Drink What, which could be an awesome LARP.
Yeah, we do.
Is it?
Oh, it's kind of like the Camarilla. I'm going to tell you. It's a lot like Vampire.
Not speaking out of turn, but Dell and the people in Empire Games have talked very seriously about how that the Poisoner's Ball, the finals, would be a live-action game. The only holdup right now...
Poison.
No, not real poison. I would not approve real poison. The only problem is trying to figure out how to simulate the bottom of the glass having the poison or not without people being able to tip it off. So once we overcome that hurdle, which apparently
I would have a theory on that.
Okay, well we'll talk after the show because your input is earnestly solicited, just not publicly, so that we can. Figure out what to do, but I know that's one thing that's one of Dell's
might be enforced.
One of Dell's long-standing dreams is that the Poisoner's Ball would be formal attire in a ballroom with real wine glasses, and that you know, and
service is called.
And
as long as we don't have real stinky cheese,
Well, wait a minute, with the Empire Games guys. Yeah,
I would be okay with the stinky cheese. I'd have a little more trouble with the runny cheese.
The runny cheese.
Yeah.
That could get messy.
That'd be cheese whiz.
It's cheese whiz.
This wine goes great with this.
Here comes
the
spray can.
and that's what borne out the idea of having a formal Poisoner's Ball is what borne out the idea of not letting the kids play I Drink What. I mean, because the stories that my children tell at school about poisoning people and death. You get What?
Well, I had two wine glasses in front of me. I knew one of them was poison.
Well, and my son does have a healthy collection of whiskey flasks. So,
yeah.
That he's.
You helped him collect those, did you?
I did not.
You emptied them out for him so he could.
No, they came empty.
Oh, okay.
He's just preparing for college.
He wanted to put like tea, sweet tea in his and take it to school.
Yeah.
Oh. And that was
Mr. Graham Brown, we need to have a parent conference meeting.
Yeah, so that was now
that's not as bad as John corrupting the 14-year-old at Marama.
That story's not gonna make it on the podcast.
Surprise!
That story is not gonna make it on the podcast.
Oh no.
I can tell that story when
we turn it off, yeah.
And on that note,
click the damn frog.
And now, Scarab News. All right, so let's look at some Scarab news. First thing I want to talk about, of course, is Scarab Iron GM 2015. This is going to be the fourth year of the Scarab Iron GM tournament. Last year, we had three very strong GM competitors, and we're hoping to get some more this year. More details can be found at the Scarab Swarmcast site, of course, johnman.podbean.com. Or, you know what, if you find me somewhere, anywhere, and ask me about it, I'm sure I'll just go on and on and on and give you all sorts of details about it. We'll have great prizes for GMs and players. It's important. Players. We need to have players. So by the time this podcast comes out, there will be a Scarab Game Day at Firefly Toys and Games just right around the corner. In fact, this Saturday, October 18th, from noon to 11 p.m. Check out the schedule on Warhorn and look for the event on Facebook. Another game day on November 1st at Firefly for charity, which will mainly be Pathfinder events. Stop by at any point during any of these game days to record some feedback about your game day experience, and who knows, you may get a little something from me. Speaking of Pathfinder, this year at Scarab we will have over 270 tables of Pathfinder Society. That is a lot of tables, and we have it on good authority that John Compton has tentatively accepted our invitation to attend for 2015. If you were there 2014, you remember him being there. Over $10,000 worth of Pathfinder Society, or rather just Pathfinder prizes, are going to be available and will be giving away all sorts of boons. Boons, boons, boons! One lucky person will even walk away with the elusive Goblin Boon, thanks to Del Collins. I'm going to take a moment to send out an invitation to GMs and event coordinators to come on the podcast, or at the very least, give me something to read out to tell our listeners about what you are bringing to Scarab 2015. Hit me up at swarmcast@scarab.com. That's Scarab with all the little hyphens or dashes or whatever you want to call it. Or track me down on Facebook somehow. Heck, I'm all over the place. Know somebody who's bringing something to Scarab, but they don't listen to the podcast? First thing you should do is chastise them. Then tell them about this. So I just spoke with Michael Brown recently about the Privateer Press, War Machine, Hordes, tournaments, and all sorts of other events that they're doing, and it sounds amazing. I'll just kind of tease you with that for right now, but I'll have a lot more information on that coming out, coming soon to a podcast near you, which will be this one, of course, and next episode.
Hi everyone, this is Ruby, and I wanted to give you a quick list of some things to look for at Scarab 2015. We have some returning favorites, like the costume contest, which will have both the adult and kids category this year. We're going to have Dance Dance Revolution again, and karaoke, and some ball joint doll related goodness. Oh yeah, and we'll also have a new scavenger hunt, which will be for both kids and adults. Some of the new and exciting things we'll be having for 2015, we're actually getting a pub trivia evening. So grab your friends, make up a team, and get your trivia on. That's me being really goofy. Also new this year is Project Diva, a Vulcanoid set which involves singing and rhythm. Recently on David Letterman, one of the Vulcanoids was featured as a musical guest. So that should be something really cool and exciting.
And that's all the news for now. For up-to-date news, go to Scarab's website and check us out on Facebook. And now, the Scarab event calendar.
Events, events, events!
In November, you can find the Swarm at Warner Robins, Georgia, November 8th through 9th for King Con. We're bringing a lot of RPGs and Pathfinder in a very unique way. We're offering up a selection of games each game slot, and we're going to throw it to the players, give them a chance to choose which games are going to be run in those game slots given from a given selection. I'll be bringing Swarmcast Mobile Studio with me, so be on the lookout for that. November 14th through 16th, the Swarm will be at Atomicon in North Charleston, South Carolina, running a variety of RPGs and bringing the impressive, very impressive board game library. And there's even some Pathfinder Society events on the schedule. Imagine that. Maybe I'll even get a chance to sit down with some of those Ghostbusters guys and play a little Duck Duck Go this time. Of course, if you see the Swarmcast at any of these events, stop by and record a little something, and you may get something in return. Sure, it could happen. If you want Scarab at your event, or to set up a game day at your business, contact us through our website 4 to 8 weeks prior. So this brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Scarab Swarmcast, where we've been LARPing around all over the place. In fact, I've got my hands crossed across my chest right now, which is why you can't see me. So, ha! Seriously, though, I want to thank Doc and Kat for coming on and talking to us about MES, or Mind's Eye Society. Go check them out. You should go check them out on their website as well as on the Scarab site. You can look for them bringing all sorts of LARPs, and more LARPs to Scarab 2015. I also want to thank Brian Gambrell for sitting in. Brian, always a pleasure to have you. And I want to thank my wife, Ruby, who, of course, wasn't going to be on the episode, but eventually made her way to the episode, as she usually does. Anyways, until next time, I'm John Manus. If you want to drop me a line, drop me some feedback, anything like that, hit me up on Facebook. You can send me an email at swarmcast@scarab.com. That's Scarab with all the hyphens and such. So until next time, remember, paper, rock, scissors, Spock, lizard, but no bombs, please. Music on the Scarab Swarmcast is by iFi Dragons at ifidragons.com, MC Lars at mclars.com, and Midnight Syndicate at midnightsyndicate.com. The Scarab Swarmcast is produced and mixed by John Manus. You can subscribe to the Swarmcast through our podcast site or through iTunes. If you like what you hear, have questions or suggestions, leave a comment on Facebook, or you can email us at swarmcast@s-c-a-r-a-b.com. I got a letter from Al Gore the other day. I opened and read it. It said we're in trouble. It said go green. What's that mean? Bought a hybrid Hummer to save gasoline. Went to Live Earth in my private jet, just like Sting and Kanye West. Let's save the Earth with arena rock. Pyrotechnics are very sustainable. I'm going green. Can't you see? I keep the AC above 63. I'm going green. Hardcore like Slayer. Here's 27 flyers on the ozone layer. I'm going green. Because I care. Use organic aerosols in my hair. I'm going green. So my grandkids remember when you couldn't buy ocean property in Denver. It's not easy being green. I think you change that old routine. The climate change could be extreme. It's not easy. It's not easy. Went to see World with a giant net to save the whales, but they got upset. Brought Shema to the parking lot, didn't get far. Couldn't even fit one fin in my car. Recycling's great, but my roommate didn't smile when I tried to make a catch from his rare Beatles vinyl. Gotta separate the plastics from the glass, even though it's a pain in the morning. Eversole cans are terrible, so I spread the word with spray painted signs. Green. Love animals for real. You see me clubbing with baby seals. Going green. Bought APs to save on gas, but I fly every weekend in first class. Green. So my grandkids will remember when it wasn't 500 degrees in December. It's not easy being green. There won't be blood for gasoline. I drink your milkshake like that scene. Local mall to make my carbon footprint half as small. I wrote this song to express how I felt about climate change and glacial melt.
You know the movie, The Day After Tomorrow? That could happen, dude.
I even rap in haiku.
What?
Manhattan.
Could be underwater.
LA.
Could be underwater.
Vancouver.
Could be underwater.
London.
Could be underwater.
Detroit.
Could be underwater.
St. Louis.
Could be underwater.
Chicago.
Could be underwater.
New Jersey. But who'd miss Jersey?
It's my